理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 9. A Continent Disappeared. The next morning, the 19th of February, I saw the Canadian enter my room. I expected his visit. He looked very disappointed.
"Well, sir," said he.
"Well, Ned, yesterday we were unlucky," I told him. I then explained the discovery I made the previous night about the captain's great fortune.
"Well, another time we must succeed. Perhaps tonight,"
answered the Canadian calmly. "In what direction are we going now?" I asked.
"I do not know,"
replied Ned. I quickly dressed and went to the sitting room, where I could see our direction. We were heading southwest, away from Europe. Perhaps we're going to the southern point of Africa. I then went to the platform. Ned was already there. We could no longer see land. Now we had no way to escape. I cannot explain the anger Ned Land felt at that moment. I, however, was not too sorry. I was able to continue my work, although I did feel great pity for my companion, the Canadian, who longed to be on land so dearly. That night at 11 o'clock, Captain Nemo came to see me, which rather surprised me.
"Professor Aronnax," he said, "you have visited the depths of the ocean by daylight, but would you like to explore the ocean bottom in the darkness?"
"Yes, I would."
"I must tell you, the path is difficult, and we shall have to walk a long distance and must climb a mountain."
"I am ready to follow you, Captain," I responded, eager for this new journey. Near midnight, Captain Nemo and I were in our suits and helmets on the bottom of the ocean. The waters were dark, and we had not brought our electric lanterns, as the captain informed me they would be useless. He then pointed into the distance. Far away, I saw a reddish spot shining brightly, though I did not know where it was coming from. As we walked, I heard a strange sound above our heads, and soon realized it was rain, showering above us. But we were nearly 150 fathoms below. The reddish light I had seen was becoming brighter as we continued our walk. I realized that the light was coming from a fire on the opposite side of an 800-foot-high mountain under the water. 2 hours after leaving the Nautilus, we had reached the top of that incredible mountain. We began to walk down the other side, and I saw in the valley below an ancient city under water. The reddish color was an explosion coming through the hole in the top of a mountain. Such mountains are called volcanoes. This particular volcano was shooting out hot liquid through the top, but was still under water. Therefore, no fire was seen. Where was I? I must find out. I must speak. But Captain Nemo then stopped me with a gesture, then picked up a piece of stone and began writing one word in the sand: Atlantis. There are many stories told about this city of Atlantis. Most have heard legends of this famous city, though no one knew if it truly existed. This ancient city was supposedly on an island near Greece, but fell into the ocean after a terrible explosion from a volcano on its island. And now, I had come to this incredible sight. We stood there for an hour, looking at the incredible ancient city. After some time, however, we returned to the Nautilus, though I was still shocked at having seen that legendary place. Chapter 10. The Underwater Coal Mines. The next day, the 20th of February, I awoke quite late, after my underwater journey to the ancient city. After waking, I quickly went to the sitting room to see the direction of the Nautilus. I discovered we were still moving south, going nearly 20 miles an hour. That afternoon, I went to my room to rest for a short time, but surprisingly did not awaken till the next morning at 8 o'clock. I immediately went to the platform, and was shocked to be in total darkness. I was sure it was morning, but there was darkness all around us. The captain then explained that we were underground. "Underground!" I exclaimed. "And the Nautilus is still floating?"
"It always floats. Wait a few minutes, then the lanterns will show you where we are,"
the captain said calmly. I then discovered that we were inside a mountain, which was once a volcano, shooting fire-hot liquid out of its top, but was now dead. The captain had found a hole in the side of the mount, deep under the waters of the ocean, to enter into the center of the volcano. "But, Captain," I asked, "why have you come here? The Nautilus needs no port. It is continually moving through the ocean. Why have we stopped?"
"We have stopped, Professor Aranesh,"
the captain explained,
"because the Nautilus needs chemicals coming from coal to make its electricity. The inside of this volcano provides such coal in its great coal mines. In this spot, the sea covers a great coal mine, which I use to power my Nautilus."
That day, my companions and I searched the inside of that mysterious volcano, while the crew of the Nautilus loaded coal onto the submarine. Chapter 11. The Sargasso Sea. The next day, we left to sail closer to North America. We were soon in the calm Sargasso Sea, whose waters are always quiet. The surface of this mysterious water was covered with thick sea plants, which had caused problems for many ships traveling through the area. The Nautilus, however, traveled under the sea plants. The name Sargasso comes from the Spanish word sargazo, describing a type of sea plant. These plants, coming from many different parts of the ocean, collect together in the calmest part of the sea. The Sargasso, which moves in a circle, continually collecting various sea plants. I was able to examine this carefully, where most ships are unable to pass through. All the day of the 22nd of February, we passed through the Sargasso Sea. By the next day, we had crossed the mysterious Sargasso Sea. For the next 19 days, from the 23rd of February to the 12th of March, the Nautilus traveled through the Atlantic Ocean, sailing towards South America. I believe the captain planned to sail around the southern tip of South America, a frightening place for ships, with great winds, common storms, and icy temperatures. The Nautilus, however, would not have such worries on that dangerous path. Ned Land was in fear that we would not soon near land. In these large seas, we would be unable to survive leaving the Nautilus. During those 19 days, I rarely saw the captain, but often noticed his books left open in the library, books particularly about natural history. I saw that he had read through my book, writing notes as he read, often disagreeing with my opinions. During this time, we attempted to find the bottom of the ocean, but were unable to at many points along our way. We traveled nearly 4,000 leagues under the water, and still could not find the bottom. At nearly 3,000 leagues under the surface, we saw the last of the living animals and plants. Below that level, we saw nothing but water. As we reached 4,000 leagues, the iron coverings of the Nautilus began to shake, and we were no longer able to go further into the ocean depths. What a situation! I exclaimed. We are going deep into the Earth's ocean depths, where other men have never been. Captain, look at these incredible rocks and caves where life is no longer possible. What unknown sights are here? How can we remember such amazing views?
You are able to remember these sights with a photograph. We are able to take pictures of these sights.
The captain explained. I could not say anything, as I was shocked to hear the captain's idea. A few moments later, a large object was carried into the sitting room. A short time later, we had a fantastic picture of the ocean bottom.
Now, we must return to the surface, as the Nautilus is under a great deal of pressure at this moment. Hold on to something,
he advised, but in just a moment, the submarine shot upward. In 4 minutes, we had gone 4 leagues and were again on the surface of the water.